all started back before the beginning of time, when the windy wind blew through the trees and banged against the rocks, creating a beat. Natives, Indians, and visitors would long for that sound. Until one day George Lanito Busquimps Albano picked up a big stick and hit a dirt pocket. Got it, George? The sound so moved Lanito that he called that sound a beat, a drum. Do you hear me, George? A drum, and it sound like this. Music to my ears. And the natives were chanting, Hoya, hoya, Negro Sonna, hoya, hoya, Negro Sonna, which means turn down, me want solo. But the neighbors were complaining because of the noise. So right from the beginning, Rush had a bad name. The neighbors complained, they moved. The new neighbors complained. It was almost like being on tour, George. So finally they moved to the beach. And that was the first beat band, the great Captain Lou Karuna Albano. So I started everything, George.
Can sing as well as eat.
And welcome everybody to Wrestling Radio here on VGLosers.com. And of course, that was The History of Music by Captain Lou Albano from the Wrestling Album, joined by George the Animal Steel. And of course, at the end, Mean Gene Okerlund and Vince McMahon. Sad news, of course, is that Captain Lou passed away this week. And SmackDown does begin tonight with the Captain Lou in memory of graphic. It's kind of funny, though, because the graphic comes up in memory of Captain Lou, and then it goes away, and then it comes back, and it's on 5 seconds, and then it goes away. So it's almost as if, I'm sure they're going to fix this before it goes on my network TV, but the original feed is it comes on, and then goes off. Like they say to someone, put up the graphic. So they put up the graphic, and then they take it down. And they're like, no, you got to put it up for, just put it back up, and then they count off a couple seconds. All right, now put it away. And that's basically how SmackDown opened. Anyway, Michael Cole was on SmackDown tonight, taking the place of JR. JR has contract negotiations coming up. His contract ends, I believe, at the end of the year, and some people had speculated that this was a sign that JR would not be returning to WWE, would not be signing another contract. That is wrong. That's just completely wrong. In fact, it was JR's wedding anniversary on Tuesday, and so he actually asked for that day off. And so they had Michael Cole fill in. They were nice enough to give him the day off, which is a pretty good sign he is going to re-sign a new contract when they're, you know, nice enough to do something like that for the guy. They did open, though, with Teddy Long coming out talking about bragging rights. He said, you know, it was a tough call to make, but considering all the superstars on Raw on their team, he had to make Chris Jericho the captain of his team. And so out comes Chris Jericho, grabs the microphone, walks up to the ring, gets inside, and he says, you know, he wants to talk about John Cena for a minute. You know, Orton is going to beat Cena, and Cena is going to want to come to SmackDown, but, you know, Jericho is the new face of SmackDown, you know, and he's going to have to go through Jericho before he gets a shot at the world title on SmackDown. He also says that he's responsible as the team captain on SmackDown to put his team together. He talked about how DX was captain of their team on Raw and how they're a bunch of degenerates. Pulls out a copy of their book, starts ripping up the pages. He says that he's going to do the same thing to DX at Bragging Rights. All of a sudden, Kane's explosion happens in the arena. Kane comes down and says, you know, Kane, he just basically looks at Jericho and says, I've decided I'm the co-captain. And Jericho just kind of looks at him for a second and goes, of course you are. I was going to ask you to do it. And so then Kane makes some goofy statement about how he's going to, you know, send him up in smoke or up in flames or whatever, and, you know, does his thing where he calls on the pyro from the four corners, and here we go into SmackDown. Nice little opening segment. I mean, it worked really well. None of it was too long. I'm not big on Kane, but the him coming out here and kind of bullying Jericho and Jericho going right along with it without fighting back was great. You know, everything about this little intro was fine, and I, you know, I'm happy with the whole thing. Our first match of the night is the qualifying match for the first qualifying match for the Team SmackDown at Bragging Rights, and this is a triple threat: Finlay, Mike Knox, Dolph Ziggler. Kind of the same mix-up of mid-card guys that we've seen plenty of times before, but they had a fine little match. The main thing to take out of this, though, is at the end, Finlay grabbed his shillelagh and clocked Mike Knox with it, goes for the cover, the ref is 1-2, Ziggler grabs Finlay, throws him out of the ring, and he goes for the cover 1-2-3. So Ziggler advances to Bragging Rights as one of the team members. Funny thing is, though, you know, if you think about the psychology of face and heel, Finlay, as a face, grabs a foreign object and cheats to get the win, and then a heel cheats by throwing the face out to get the pin, to get the win. So you basically have a cheat on a cheat, a heel on a face on a heel. It's just kind of an odd little way to mix things up there. It's kind of funny if you think about the fact that the one good guy in the match is the one who actually had to cheat to try to win, and he ends up getting screwed. Regardless, anyway, it was fine. Next up, they had a tag match, Crime Time versus the Hart Dynasty. You know, nothing too amazing there, but it's a tag team qualifying match for Bragging Rights, meaning whichever team wins, both team members get to join Team SmackDown. This was actually a fun little match. You know, we've seen these guys do plenty of matches before, and I've said, you know, there are times where Shad looks terrible, where Harry Smith looks, you know, just looks kind of green, but here I thought everything came across fine. This actually looked to me like this could have been a pay-per-view match if they added, you know, 3-4 more minutes to it. In fact, I think this is better than, I think they had a pay-per-view match about 3 months ago, and I want to say that, you know, this was definitely better than what they did on that show. Tyson Kidd looked really good. Tyson Kidd and JTG, when those two guys go at it, it just makes me wish that those two would just, you know, forget about tag teams, go single, and have a feud. I think, if you think about Chris Benoit and Booker T, and the was it the Best of Five series that they did, whatever, these two guys doing the same storyline would be just awesome. But basically, JTG had tried to go for his finisher before, and it didn't work. I think Harry Smith broke it up. So this time what happens is Tyson Kidd goes for a springboard, but Shad basically cuts him off, and Tyson Kidd gets caught and gets hit by the shout-out from JTG. So, you know, fine. It was good match, good match. Definitely worth checking out that match. They show Jericho trying to talk to Michelle McCool backstage, basically saying, you know, there's going to be a SmackDown versus Raw Divas match at the pay-per-view, and he wants to know if he can count on her to beat the other Divas. And, of course, you know, she's whatever. Mickie James comes in and says, you know what? I'm now on SmackDown, and I'm excited to be here, but maybe you should be, you know, putting all your faith in someone who has already beat all the Divas on Raw. And Michelle McCool does her little pfft and goes to walk away, but she bumps into Beth Phoenix, who just basically says that she's going to be taking the title soon, and Michelle McCool looks a little freaked out by it, which good. Because if Beth Phoenix wins the title and she and Mickie James have a feud and Michelle McCool just kind of disappears in the background, I'll be happy. They show Vince on the cell phone and backstage, and CM Punk walks up and interrupts him. He just says, you know, why are you allowing this four-way to happen? You're the chairman of the board. You're the CEO. Why don't you take care of this and just change the match at the pay-per-view? And Vince basically says, I can't do that. You know, I'm not going to change that. It's already, you know, it's already in the books. We're already advertising. I'm not going to get rid of it. But next week, you'll get a rematch versus The Undertaker. You'll have Teddy Long at ringside, and you'll have Scott Armstrong as your referee in the ring. And so basically the two of them shook on the deal, and CM Punk looked very happy that he was going to be getting his second screw job next week on SmackDown. Match number three, Vicky Guerrero came out, and she said, you know, she was happy to be back, and she's here to introduce her new boyfriend, Eric Escobar, who comes down to the ring. He is in a qualifying match here against Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy, you know, it's really a shame. Matt Hardy is a guy who has done so much for the company and who has been, you know, the only problems he really had were with Edge. But because Edge had more pull, Matt was, you know, thrown out and thrust aside. And when they finally were able to come up with a storyline and work around all that, because Matt made such a big deal about it, they brought him back and then instantly put him in mid-card hell. And he's never been able to get out. And the problem is, he could be world champion. He is just as good, if not better, than his brother. Although not as charismatic. I will say that. But, you know, definitely a much better wrestler all around, and yet he's stuck in mid-card hell. His first match here against Eric Escobar, this is a qualifying match for the pay-per-view, and they had Vicky jump up on the apron during the match, pretend like she had hurt her ankle. So the referee goes to check, Matt gets distracted by it, and Escobar throws Matt Hardy into the ring post, rolls him up, grabs the tights, ref turns around and counts a three, and Escobar, first match on SmackDown, wins and qualifies to go to the pay-per-view to be on Team SmackDown. So, when they talk about, you know, building guys, needing to build up guys, needing to push guys to that next level, you know, they need some new blood, some fresh blood, you know, hitting the main event scene. WWE apparently is not going to elevate anybody. They're just going to bring in guys and just say, okay, you're new, we're going to put you on top because the people have never seen you lose. Whereas guys who have been around for a while, guys who work really well, guys who have the ability to have good matches and already have some sort of relationship with the crowd, they're out. They're out. They've already had maybe three or four losses in their history on television, so, you know, sucks to be them, but they're just never going to get their shot. Anyway, they brought back the dirt sheet. They had Miz and Morrison both up there at the same time, talking about Raw versus SmackDown, talking about their match at the pay-per-view, Intercontinental Champion versus U.S. Champion, how they used to be tag team buddies. And you know, it was okay for what it was, but nobody cares about The Miz, and no one thinks he's a threat. And while people like Morrison, nobody really sees... Morrison's not going to be world champion someday. I mean, they just don't look at him and see him as being a guy super on top. So, you know, these two guys doing a face-off against each other, most people are just kind of like, nah, well, you know, hmm. And that's pretty much how the crowd reacted for most of it. Morrison just basically said, you know, Raw nowadays is nothing but Saturday Night Live. They had Al Sharpton, they had Nancy O'Dell, Who's Next Big Bird, which was funny, and I'm surprised he was able to get away with that, considering how much they're banking on those guest stars elevating the ratings on Monday Night Raw, but good for him getting it in there. They just kind of went back and forth and back and forth, and, you know, it wasn't really until they got to the end that it took off. You know, they kept doing these little jabs at each other, making these little in jokes, talking about Marty Jannetty and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And the crowd really didn't care and they really didn't get into it. And it wasn't until, Morrison really kind of got in his face and started screaming at him and jumped up and said, you know, attack me, hit me now, let's do it. That's when the crowd really, you know, got into it. But when these guys were doing their little jokes, their little back and forth, crowd just really didn't care. And, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with John Morrison in the long run, but if they want him to be some sort of big main event guy, if he's supposed to be some sort of next generation or new blood on SmackDown, they really have a lot of work to do. And you could really see that with the way the crowd was treating him. They showed a video of Drew McIntyre and R-Truth talking about all the different things they've done, the way they've attacked each other, their fight on the SmackDown 10th anniversary, all that kind of stuff. They announced it was going to be the next qualifying match, R-Truth versus Drew McIntyre. And, you know, R-Truth, God bless the man. These two guys had a fun little match. But R-Truth, basically, Drew McIntyre just attacked his shoulder over and over and over again, took him to the outside of the ring and bumped him onto the stage steps, or I'm sorry, on the ring steps. McIntyre jumped back in the ring and R-Truth was counted out. So really kind of a lame, anticlimactic, I don't know if that's the end of their feud, if they're going to continue it after the pay-per-view, but, I mean, it just kind of sucks to be R-Truth. With as much talent as he has, you know, when he went to TNA and he was actually able to perform, and before they brought everybody else in, you know, they made him the TNA champion, NWA world champion, whatever it was, you know, you just started to go, you know, R-Truth is someone who can actually wrestle. He actually has some good stuff going for him. Then they bring him back on WWE, and he's just back to being a nobody. And, you know, sucks to be him. They showed Rey and Batista backstage, and, you know, Batista just really didn't want to wrestle Rey, said he didn't feel right about it. You know, they're basically like brothers, and Rey says, you know what, listen, we're friends. We're always going to be friends. Nothing's going to change that, but we're going to go out here and wrestle. Let's just go out, have a good time. Let's wrestle. Let's actually do this. You know, CM Punk, we know he's a punk. We know we can beat him. He's no big deal. Undertaker, we respect Undertaker, but, you know, it's every man for himself in that match. Let's just go out tonight and let's wrestle and let's have a good show. And so, you know, Batista and Rey, they, you know, hugged and did the bro slaps on the back like 9,000 times. They go out to do the match, and basically, they just kind of played it off, of course, that Rey is too fast for Batista to really get a handle on. But Rey makes a mistake, Batista gets his hands on him, and he can hit a big move, and that's going to hurt Rey. It's the same Rey versus Big Man match we've seen plenty of times before. The difference was, of course, that they really tried to play it up that Batista was afraid to manhandle his little buddy, and Rey wasn't afraid to take Batista on. And so they kept going back and forth where Batista would get to some point where he was overpowering Rey and he would kind of back off. And Rey would just kind of look at him like, you know, what are you doing? And just attack him head on. And this happened several times until you started to really see Batista looking frustrated, starting to look angry. And it kind of looked like they were going to do the heel turn. And I know it was way too early. They weren't going to do it now. But they really toyed with it. They really played with that idea that Batista is just, he's going to get frustrated and he's going to snap. Like, he's trying to be a nice guy, but deep inside, he's really not a nice guy. And so they really played off that, and there were several times where you just thought he was going to snap. But what happens is Ray ends up chopping Batista, kicks Batista's head. Batista falls into the ropes, goes for the 619, knocks him back into the ring, but Batista's on his feet, so Ray goes for the springboard. Batista tries to catch him, but Ray basically flips it into a Hurricane Rana, stays with him when he falls to the mat, curls him up for the three count, and what happens is Batista gets his arm up, and his shoulder, the way the camera showed it, his arm is clearly up, his shoulder is clearly off the mat, but the ref is in a position where he can't see it because the ref dropped too quickly. And so the ref counts the three and gives the win to Mysterio, and Batista looks mad. Batista looks pissed. And Ray's celebrating, and Batista doesn't want to get mad at Ray. He gets mad at the ref. And he's, you know, petitioning the ref, and he's saying, take another look. And they show the replay, and yeah, he was wrong. But, you know, the ref has made his ruling, and it's going to be Ray. And, you know, that's just the end of it. And they really... they did a really good job of saying that, you know, here Batista was wronged, it wasn't Ray's fault. But you know that when that heel turn comes, you're going to have Batista going, you know, you screwed me over. And Ray is going to innocently be going, I don't know what you're talking about. And boom, there is your motivation for the heel turn. There's your setup for it. It's all here in this match tonight. It was, again, a really fun match. Little guy against big guy. Really good match. You know, face versus face. They did a really good job of teasing that heel turn without quite biting the bullet. A lot of fun. Really interesting match. And I'm glad it was the main event. All right, guys. We're going to end it there tonight. I want to thank you guys for listening. There's going to be no bonus song after the credits. In fact, I'm not even going to play the credits music. We're just going to end it dry tonight. We played the Captain Lou song at the beginning. That's your bonus song for this week. But I want to thank you guys for listening. Make sure you come to our site, VGLosers.com. Check out some of the other stuff, video reviews of you know, toys and TV shows. And we got write-ups of movies. And you know, we've got all kinds of crazy stuff going on. We've got other podcasts on MMA and fantasy football. And toys. We do a lot of work with our sister site, That New Toy Smell. We're working on a big overhaul of how everything's going to be working here in the next couple months between VG Losers and That New Toy Smell and everything like that. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Make sure you guys check out the site. Come to our forums. Talk to everybody. Let me know how wrong I am when I talk about SmackDown and Raw. And, you know, nice talking to you guys. And we'll see you on Tuesday when we talk about Monday Night Raw.